I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control. Ooh, audacity will not buy back your soul.
Hello and welcome to Too Much Money, the podcast that asks, do you need to be crazy to be a billionaire, or does being a billionaire make you crazy? I'm Dori Shafrir.
And I'm Joe Piazza. And I got to say, I think that today's episode is going to prove that it is the latter, that being a billionaire makes you a little bit crazy. It does.
Okay.
It does.
Or like maybe I do feel like it's the kind of thing where like it's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing, right? Because like you need to have a certain personality type to amass the type of wealth, to be a self-made billionaire, to amass mm-hmm. that type mm-hmm. of wealth, mm-hmm. right? So like you're yes. already probably predisposed to some sort of like megalomania, like yes. all of these things. Look, I'm no doctor or psychologist, but I will just, you know, armchair diagnose people.
Look, we are armchair billionaire experts.
We're armchair Dory. Billionaire experts.
Armchair billionaire experts. So we can diagnose them all day long.
Totally. So I am really curious to hear what you have uncovered in your journey. Also, wait, Joe, before we get to this, I do want to just note that one of our listeners, Emma, wrote in to toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com, which everyone listening can write into at any time, with a very important update.
Okay. Tell me.
Which is that a couple weeks ago, former Too Much Money subject Clive Palmer, Australian billionaire,
yeah.
mm-hmm. He held a press conference to say that the Titanic 2 is a go.
Shut your mouth.
It's on, and he has a scheduled completion date of June 2027. He plans to start building next year. So, well, field trip?
Totally. Yes. I'm sure we can definitely get that sponsored. So I'm
1,000%.
Here for it.
Or maybe he'll do a junket, you know, and just like bring us over there.
Let's reach out immediately as soon as we get off of recording this episode.
Great idea. And make this happen
because I love our listeners for updating us on all of these things because,
same.
You know, yeah, again, you don't always know in the world of billionaires. This news doesn't surface that easily. So I had no idea this was happening.
Same, but it did make me think that I should set up a Google alert for everyone that we talk about on our episodes. Although that might drive mm-hmm. me crazy, but mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. would, you know, I would get this news.
Okay.
Just a thought.
Well, just something else to do. Something
totally.
Else to do.
Yeah. Why not?
So the path that I took today
yes.
was meandering. It was a meandering path to get here.
Okay. Right.
I was planning on doing a story on billionaires going to space. So it would be just uh-huh. like a kind of a roundup because male billionaires, again, male billionaires, be loving going to space.
Totally. Totally. I mean, this was what was satirized on the other two.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I will say, I caught up on the third season of the other two on the plane that I was just on. And that show is just chef's kiss. It is just perfection.
It really is.
So this episode was going to be on the household name billionaires and their like space visiting hobbies. So, you know, let's go through them really quick and then I'll we'll take my path. We're all going to just wander through the woods.
We're all going to do this. Okay.
We're all going to wander. We're all going to wander. So, you know, we've got Elon Musk, the CEO and CTO of SpaceX, which he founded in 2001, which has contracts with NASA. It employs 5,000 people. It's valued at roughly $12 billion. It has also suffered a lot of really high-profile mishaps, setbacks, problems. Mm-hmm. There was a crash landing of one of its reusable rockets. They destroyed a $200 million communications satellite. So again, not perfection, but a household name millionaire who's dabbling in space. And then and then we've got Bezos, obviously,
of course,
with Blue Origin, his space travel company, where he wants to make spaceflight available to the masses.
Okay.
My favorite thing, Bezos is pretty much planning to take us all to Mars. I mean, he is really shooting for like the planets at this point. And some billionaires are just like, we're going to put you into orbit. But Bezos is like, no. Do we want to go to Mars? Absolutely. We want to go everywhere. And I'm like, that's the problem with you billionaires. You want to go everywhere.
Right. And they think they can.
And they think they can, despite their setbacks. Mm-hmm. We've also got Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic, where one of his spacecrafts actually came apart during a test flight.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And then of course you've got the Zuck. You've got the Zuck involved, Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. With the Starshot project, where he wants to send small robots into the far reaches of space. I believe all the way to Alpha Centauri, which is 25 million miles away. You know what it reminds me of?
What?
And the Flight of the Navigator. The Flight of the Navigator. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think the Flight of the Navigator did something. You know, Branson and Bezos are a little bit old for it, but Zuck is our age. And
Zuck is exact demographic. That's so funny.
Right?
Wow. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So while I was doing this research, I came across a billionaire that was not a household name to me.
Okay.
Robert Bigelow. Have you heard of Robert Bigelow?
Joe, I have not.
He's a hotel chain billionaire. He owns the Budget Suites of America.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Never stayed there, but... Sure.
I think Budget Suites of America, let's look this up. I think it for a long time included things like Hotel 6 and stuff.
Oh, Motel 6. Yes.
Motel 6. Let's look this up.
Okay. Budget Suites of America.
Budget Suites of America. Actually, no, I've never stayed in one. But apparently, I mean, it was enough to make him a billionaire. Okay.
The Budget Suites of America on North Rancho Drive in Las Vegas has a 1.5 star rating on TripAdvisor.
Okay. Not the highest rating on TripAdvisor.
It's number 247 of 249 hotels in Las Vegas.
Okay. Well then.
Would you like to hear a couple of things that people have said about this?
I would actually, yeah, I'd really like that. That would be great.
Okay. Let me start off by saying, if you have children, watch your kids. We have reason to believe an employee or employees at the Budget put a venomous baby scorpion in my son's room Well, they were in our unit fixing our shower since the first day we moved in.
No, no. This is getting stranger than expected.
I mean, I would probably not stay there.
I probably wouldn't stay there. Also, best TripAdvisor review of all time.
And it was the first one.
Well, yeah, because we have reason to believe that a hotel employee put a venomous scorpion.
I mean,
don't stay there with your kids, friends. Do not stay there with your kids. Well, so, you know, whatever. There was big money in Budget Suites of America, the hotel chain, and Bigelow decided, like, you know, a lot of men with money, that he wanted to go to outer space. Mm-hmm. That he wanted to use his money to go to outer space. So in 1999, he founded a company to go to outer space, Bigelow Aerospace. But it was a little different from what the other household name billionaires have been doing. He has wanted to focus on creating, like, habitats in space. Kind of, I guess he wants to create the Budget Suites of America, but in outer space.
I'm sorry. How is he going to get scorpions to outer space?
I'll bet you, you know, scorpions are pretty scrappy, and I'll bet you scorpions could totally survive in outer space.
Joe, you're probably right. Okay. Well, I'm glad we solved that for him.
We solved that problem for him. His focus is on things like inflatable modules that are insulated by different foam layers, which means it's easy to ship them to outer space to build the Budget Suites of America on the moon.
For once, you have rendered me almost speechless. From what I saw glancing at TripAdvisor of several of his locations, these are not even like well-maintained properties across the board. Like, you can have an inexpensive motel or hotel that is not a total shithole.
Totally.
But it seems
I love a Howard Johnson.
Yes. Or even like a Best Western, like, those tend to be like in pretty decent shape. And this guy thinks he's going to take his like janky hotel to the moon.
He wants to take his janky hotel to the moon. And not only does he want to take his janky hotel to the moon, but as we've seen with so many billionaires, people just put faith into them.
Right.
And just, I mean, often I have to believe misplaced faith, because NASA has actually given them money to explore the possibilities.
No.
I mean, something in millions and millions of dollars.
Oh, no, Joe.
Yes. Yes. NASA, in 2013, NASA signed a $17.8 million deal with them, with Bigelow Aerospace, to see if this was possible. And then, you know, you're like, really, NASA? Maybe that's why some things aren't working out for you. Making some interesting decisions, friends. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But Dory, that is not why we're talking about Mr. Bigelow today.
Ooh, should we take a break before you reveal why we're talking about him?
We should.
Okay, let's
because
do
this
that.
Yes, this is where my path has led me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I cannot wait. All right, we'll be right back.
Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, and we are back. We are back. Before we get into why we're talking about Robert Bigelow today, I want to tell you something else that I found while I was doing this research that I think is going to frame this situation and also just blow your mind a little bit.
Okay, I'm listening.
It's this meme that you find when you start searching for billionaires and outer space and all of these things. And it keeps coming up. And the meme is, what if aliens are just billionaires from other planets?
What if aliens are just billionaires from other planets?
Right? Wow. Like, because those are the only people who are, like, those are the only beings who have enough money to fund this kind of research. And so we probably wouldn't stumble across, like, the most benevolent aliens from another planet, but we would be, if they make contact, it would be the Bezos and the Musks from another planet.
Okay.
I just want you to just think about that for a minute.
This is an interesting theory.
Right?
An interesting theory.
Right? Okay. Well, it takes us to why we're talking about Robert Bigelow, because his obsession with building cheap motels on the moon led him to another obsession, which he has spent a lot of money on.
Okay.
UFOs.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. He has financed a lot of UFO research and UFO conspiracy theories. He is not the only billionaire who is very invested in UFOs. And again, I hate repeating myself. I hate it. But yet again, we are seeing that very rich men are obsessed with the things that children are often obsessed with.
Yes. Yes, Joe.
So there was an alien abduction conference in the early 1990s.
Okay.
Yeah, which Robert Bigelow helped pay for, essentially.
Now, were these people who thought they had been abducted by aliens? Or just people who are interested in the topic?
Both. All of the things. All of the things. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And so Bigelow paid to finance that conference. And he's been very, very vocal about how he firmly believes that space aliens have visited the Earth. This is a direct quote. There has been and is an existing presence, an ET presence.
Wow.
And he said that he knows this because he has spent, quote, millions and millions and millions of dollars searching for UFO evidence.
Wow. And hasn't found any? I mean, where do things stand here?
Well, he's saying he must have found something, but he's not telling us. Here's yet another direct quote. I probably spent more as an individual than anybody else in the United States has ever spent on this subject.
Ever. Wow.
Ever. My favorite, I found this really excellent Scientific American piece on it, which says, indeed, if you name a UFO rabbit hole, it's a good bet the 79-year-old tycoon has flushed his riches down it.
Flushed his riches.
Flushed wow. his riches okay. down it. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
right.
Yeah. Yeah. He's investigated everything having to do with UFOs, from crop circles to alien abductions mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. cattle mutilations and UFO crashes.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Millions and millions of dollars. Now, this Scientific American piece is really great because it gives us some good background on, quote, wealthy eccentrics who have long, you know, kind of greased the way to UFO research.
Yes, 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 yes.
Apparently, Lawrence Rockefeller was one of the most prominent UFO financiers in the 90s. And it looks like a lot of this UFO research. Back up. Pause for 1 second. Dory, when you think about a UFO enthusiast, let's call them enthusiasts, what do you picture?
I picture like a guy in his 60s with a big, bushy, gray beard,
mm-hmm.
like sitting out in the desert.
Mm-hmm. In like a lawn chair, right? Like a yeah. rickety lawn chair? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, it seems like the people that are funding a lot of this research are actually very rich dudes who, again, it's much like the search for Atlantis or trying to reach the Titanic. They want to know something that is unknowable.
Mhm.
I mean, Bigelow, it's not just UFOs. He also gave millions of dollars to the University of Nevada to study psychic phenomenon, telepathy, clairvoyance, life after death.
This is really intense.
It's pretty intense. It's pretty intense, but most of it is UFOs.
Most of it is UFOs.
Most of it is UFOs. And so
all right.
Bigelow bought this ranch in Utah after reading a story in a newspaper mm-hmm. that claimed that the property was filled with UFOs. The story was in a Utah newspaper, but I did find the story in the Las Vegas Sun from 1996. Here's the headline. Nevada millionaire buys UFO ranch in Utah. And I'm just gonna read a little bit of this to you.
Okay.
Here, far from the bright lights of his native Las Vegas, the real estate magnate hopes his team of scientists can unearth the roots of UFO folklore prevalent in this region since the 1950s. Bigelow is convinced there is something to the weird stories told by the family of Terry Sherman. Last July, the Shermans broke years of silence and went public with bizarre tales of strange lights and UFOs on their 480-acre ranch. Sherman said that he and other members of his family had seen lights emerging from circular doorways that seemed to appear in midair, had three cows strangely mutilated, and several others disappear. The rancher also reported unusual impressions in the soil and circles of flattened grass in a pasture. So this guy, Sherman, he told this story to a reporter from the Deseret News and on a radio program. And all of a sudden, Bigelow just shows up.
Holy shit.
Just shows up, friends. And he goes to the ranch and negotiates to buy it for $200,000.
That seems like a bargain.
Totally, totally. But also maybe not in 1999 for ranch land in Utah, in certain parts of Utah, maybe they needed the cash. This leads me to believe that if I ever want to sell a beleaguered property, I should just write a story about how it's haunted by gremlins.
Totally. Or how you've seen UFOs from that property.
Exactly. Exactly. I've seen UFOs from the roof of my house in Philadelphia. Yeah. Would a billionaire like to come buy my house for millions of dollars?
I think probably yes.
I think maybe yes. So, I mean, I just want you to picture this. Like, you know, this guy, he tells the story, he goes on the radio, he talks to a newspaper, and all of a sudden, a billionaire shows up and is like, okay, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Oh my God.
I know. I know. So Bigelow moves to the ranch. He goes to the ranch. The Sherman family goes to a smaller ranch that's, you know, down the street. And they're like, oh, we really hope that this ranch isn't filled with UFOs, which leads me to believe that all of this is some kind of hilarious farce. Bigelow then builds an observation building, moves in scientists and a veterinarian, because I guess, is a veterinarian the kind of doctor that you need if you're investigating UFOs?
Wow. Okay. Could any vets weigh in?
He made sure to have someone on the property all of the time to just, you know, monitor any unusual activities and but the thing is that all of the things that were mentioned regarding this UFO activity are things that are just like so classic movie UFO stuff.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right? Like crop circles, cows.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that Bigelow did, which people thought was kind of suspect. They're like, maybe that's not the best use of your money. And they have not found anything. They have not.
Oh, that's so weird.
It's so strange that they didn't.
Can't believe they didn't find anything.
They didn't seem to find anything. Yeah. Yeah.
Take another break?
Let's take another break.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Okay, so there are mixed feelings about Bigelow within...
Oh, I'm shocked.
Within the world.
Yeah.
Some parents are unhappy with the scorpion that was placed on their child.
I'm sorry to laugh. That must have been very traumatic.
So traumatic. But also, why would a hotel employee do that?
I have a lot of questions about the story.
So many questions. But so a lot of people in the UFO community, of which there are many, my friend, this is vast. And like so many of the topics that we have covered on this show,
yes,
the people who are obsessed with this subject,
yes,
are very obsessed with this subject. It is a deep cut. It is a close-knit community. And the community of UFO researchers, both amateur and professional, have long been frustrated by Bigelow because they claim that he has not shared nearly enough material with the UFO community.
Oh, that's so interesting.
As they would like, because he goes out and he makes these big claims. Of course there are UFOs. Yes. Of course there is extraterrestrial life. And yet, apparently, according to enthusiasts, he has not offered up his research in a way that is satisfactory
for them. Man, that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, even though he's funding all of this research, the UFO community is not necessarily a fan of Bigelow because they just feel like he needs to be a little bit more transparent about what he's been up to.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And this has always been Bigelow's dream. I mean, he has said for a long time that the only reason he ever went into the hotel business was just to get to space.
Wow, this is like a long, very long term plan that he has going here.
It's a very, very long term plan. Now, I will say that Bigelow Aerospace, the company responsible for the moon hotels and so much of this UFO research, in March of 2020, laid off the majority of its staff and halted operations after 20 years of business.
Ouch.
Yes.
Ouch.
Yes. But then, in very, very billionaire style, Bigelow actually sued NASA for $1 million.
For?
Claiming that NASA didn't pay him properly for product testing and development.
Wow, this guy has some serious balls.
Those are some balls, right? Like the fact that NASA gives you the money to conduct your projects.
Yes.
And then like, you know what? No, not enough. Not enough. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. So you may be curious about what Bigelow is up to now.
I am. I'm very curious.
He's really switched from UFOs I mean, he did. So UFOs were his big thing for 20 years, right? And then the pandemic hit and everything starts to shut down. He next founded the Bigelow Institute for Consciousness Studies.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's now investigating life after death, and he's getting up there. He's getting older. He's 79 now, which means he's probably less interested in the aliens that he could meet in space in his moon motels and more interested in the people that he's going to meet after he passes on.
This took an intense turn that I was not expecting. Not gonna lie.
I know. So his institute that he created put up an award where they would give someone $1 million asking for essays that argued for the existence of life after death.
wait a second. He was offering a reward
to the best websites, the best essays,
the best essays about life, like proving the existence of life after death. I had to repeat that because I wasn't sure I had heard it correctly.
Yeah. Well,
turns out I had.
Well, and the people who entered were really pioneers in the studies of life after death. You know, people who are researchers in the field of near-death studies. Another sociologist of religion who specializes in paranormal beliefs, witchcraft, Wicca, things like that. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that became his obsession for quite some time. And, you know, it's a nice little pandemic project.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Nice little pandemic project. But now he's kind of shifted once again. And now he's a very big conservative political donor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
this happens.
Well, I think you go from UFOs to life after death to Ron DeSantis.
There's kind of a straight line, is what you're saying.
It's a very straight line. It's a very straight line to me. Yeah, in July of 2022, he was the single biggest donation to DeSantis's reelection bid. It was something like $10 million.
Oh.
Yeah. He spent more than $25 million to support the conservative governor candidate for Nevada. And some experts think that might be like the biggest single donation in a statewide race.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then recently, because he's still in the news, friends, he's still in the news. He said that he is donating to Donald Trump's legal fees.
Oh, well, I hope he has a lot of money left.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. That's, yeah. So, like I said, direct line from UFO research, from buying this ranch in Utah to funding Donald Trump's legal woes.
Wow. Joe, this went in directions I was not anticipating.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I love surprising and delighting you, Dory. Yeah, I do.
Really?
It brings me so much joy.
You really do. Wow. Okay. Well, this is a lot. I mean, I had no idea about the money behind like UFO research. You know, you hear about these conferences, and I used to work with a woman who was very into UFOs. At first I thought it was like an ironic, like hipster kind of like pose. But it turned out no, she was like legit like into UFOs. Doesn't fit the profile, needless to say. And I was always sort of like, oh, those wacky people.
Oh, those wacky people. Is this someone I know? Do I know this person?
Probably.
Okay. We don't have to say their name out loud.
I'll tell you later.
Tell me later. Yeah.
But this is really interesting. And you see how sort of like an industry arises around these people to like take their money. You know,
totally.
Like I could say to Robert Bigelow, you know what? I need $1 million to do this really intense research into whether UFO, like, you know what I mean? Like invent some harebrained research project and get a ton of money out of these people, which is like,
I know, which is like maybe what we should do next.
That's kind of what I'm saying, Joe.
I know. I mean, if billionaires just want to give their money away, I'll go research some freaking UFOs.
Totally. I could come up with a great proposal.
We're really good at proposals.
We're really good at them. Well,
Thanks everyone for listening. You can email us at toomuchmoneypodcast@gmail.com. And Too Much Money is hosted and produced by me, Dori Shafrir, and Joe Piazza. Our music is by Lisa Brenner, and our network partner is Acast. Thanks so much for listening. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Like a Midas touch by the very first time, I make decisions with my wallet, not my mind. Too much money for one person to control.